When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another edition of SlysOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers. Joining us today are a volunteer for a very long time in the Madison School District who decided to step up and run for school board. Chris Carusi is running for, is it seat six?
Is it seat six?
We've actually got primaries in both seats that are up this time, which is absolutely remarkable. And the primary is February 21st, which means there's going to be a low turnout when, unfortunately, there should be a high turnout. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Tell us a little bit about yourself for people who don't know who Chris Carusi is.
Well, I am a parent in the district. I have a freshman and a seventh grader in the Madison schools. And I have been hanging out at school board meetings since my eldest was in preschool, because at the time we were starting the process of trying to get 4K established in Madison, and I got excited about the possibilities of getting that done. Since then, I've been going to school board meetings a lot. I've organized around different issues. I've advocated for kids in schools, and I feel like I'm ready to take that experience and put it to work on the school board.
All right. Tell us about yourself before that, though, because you have kind of an interesting story of Madison's an interesting melting pot of people coming from all over the place. What did you do before you moved to Madison, what, 17 years ago?
I moved to Madison about 17 years ago, and my story of being in the schools goes way back to when I was a Peace Corps volunteer in the 1990s. I was in a very remote rural part of Nepal, and I taught English there. And I had a class of fourth grade students and later a class of fifth grade students, and there were about 40 kids in my class, and of those kids, only about six were girls. And this was when it really dawned on me that education is a basic human right, and everything I could do to work to try to ensure that basic human right was important. I then went on to a career in sustainable agriculture. I've worked with sustainable and organic farmers in Nebraska and Wisconsin, and I currently work for the Center for Integrated Agricultural Systems at the university.
All right. I read your piece in the Capital Times. Tell me a little bit about how you were influenced by something I remember very well happening. I was in high school, but I remember Proposition 13 in California. You're originally from Santa Barbara.
I'm actually from Los Angeles.
I went to college in Santa Barbara. Okay,
yeah.
You went to school in Santa Barbara. Okay.
Yep, so I grew up in Los Angeles, and when I was in sixth grade, Proposition 13 passed. And Proposition 13 was a property tax reform measure in California that has been devastating to their public schools. It basically, if people didn't move out of their homes, their property taxes were frozen, and it drastically reduced the amount of funding available for public education. And, back when my parents were growing up in the 50s, and when I was growing up in the 70s, California's public schools were really good schools, and they're some of the lowest-ranked schools in the country now, as a direct result of not being funded. So
you mentioned community schools. And, over the years, and it's not really debated much anymore, but, Madison has school pairing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been a little troubled by it. I understand the value of having people learn about and integrating schools, but I always worry about shipping kids out of their neighborhood schools. I happen to live a block from Midvale School, which is a paired school, and there's some wonderful programs and some wonderful things Midvale does with members from a community that bus in over. But kids on buses and shuffling people around at this point in time, considering what we're up against, seems like a waste of money to me.
I think the city hasn't actually debated paired schools for a while. We did have a debate about that when my eldest was in kindergarten, and they were talking about pairing Crestwood with another school, which did not happen because of the cost factor. But at the time, a lot of the conversation was about the fact that many of our paired schools were very happy being paired schools and didn't want to be unpaired. So I think if parents are happy with the pairings, we continue to maintain them. So, and if parents are unhappy, we need to have a conversation about it. But
is an unneeded cost? Well, because here's what I don't understand. The paired schools, once kids get to a certain grade level, the kids that are in one neighborhood get bused to the other. So is there really integration going on? Aren't we still sort of segregating people by grade level?
Well, you've got the kids from the two neighborhoods, K-1 and 2, in one building, and then the kids from both neighborhoods in grades 3, 4, and 5 in another building.
Right.
So the integration does happen pretty effectively. And it is known that if you get over a certain, you know, I don't know the exact percentage, but when you start to get higher rates of poverty in a school, it gets harder to teach, and achievement does go down. So by pairing schools, if you're able to keep poverty rates lower, everybody benefits.
What separates you from your opponents for District 6?
I would say experience separates me from my opponents. Again, I've had kids in the district for 10 years. I've been going to school board meetings and working on advocacy in the district for about 10 years. I did help to organize a grassroots organization following Act 10 to try to help teachers and parents work together on common issues of interest following Act 10, and I feel like I bring that diversity of experience to the table.
I take it you did not support Act 10.
I did not support Act 10.
What do you make of Governor Walker blackmailing the city of Madison?
He is blackmailing the city of Madison, and I'm horrified by it. It's more of his usual divide and conquer politics. He is basically saying, I'm going to pit staff against students if you want this money, and I'm not on board with that at all.
So you don't think Madison should capitulate to that?
No. I think any decisions that involve our staff and their benefits have to be made with staff at the table, and I don't think we capitulate.
What is your what's not happening? I interviewed Nikki Vandermeulen the other day, and she has a real passion for how she thinks she can add advocacy for kids that get in trouble and help the schools deal with it and make them more productive students. Mm-hmm. What would you like your niche to be on the school board?
I would say, you know, I have many niches, but my primary niche, I think, would be equity in our schools, trying to ensure that kids who are coming to school without as much as some other kids are able to achieve their potential in our schools. I think that it's a very broad goal, and one of my more specific tactics for trying to reach that goal is I think we need to look at reducing our class sizes. My kids went to a SAGE school. I don't think they call them SAGE schools, but those are schools that get extra funding because there's more kids in poverty at those schools. And when my kids were in elementary school, they never had more than 15 kids in their class, and now we have some high-poverty schools that are surpassing 20 kids in a class at the kindergarten through second grade level. And we know that smaller class sizes, especially for elementary school kids, is a really good way to close achievement gaps and help ensure that all kids are able to achieve. So for me, that's really important. I want to ensure that every child in Madison has access to a high-quality education in a public neighborhood school.
How do you think Jen Cheatham is doing as school superintendent?
Jen has accomplished some good things. In particular, the third grade reading scores are looking really good for African-American students. I do feel that the district has some issues with transparency and bringing people to the table and engaging in the robust debate that is part of being in a democratic society, and I would like to see more of that back at the school board level, where the community can really come and engage and speak up on issues that concern them, and their opinions are taken into account when decisions are made.
You know, you've got one of your daughters goes to Madison Memorial, correct?
Yep.
I got that right?
I do have a kid at Memorial.
Okay. So I'm an alumni of Madison Memorial. Many, many years ago, went to school there, was back there for the 50th anniversary of that school opening when they used to call it Corn Cob High because it was in the middle of a cornfield. Mm-hmm. It was. I was also part of the Principal for a Day program where I shadowed Bruce Dahman. And I still miss him. He was, I don't know if you ever got to meet him, but he was just a joy to be around.
Mm-hmm.
He took me through some classrooms, and I got to see some of the programs where they were working with students in real time while the teacher was teaching. Students that were struggling and behind were actually getting tutorial help. Is that working out, or does that program need to be expanded?
That's a good question. I do not know what is happening with that program. I haven't heard any kind of progress update on it. It would be worth looking into.
Because a school like Memorial, you have such a diverse population. You have students that are off the charts who are going to go to Stanford at that school, who are the sons and daughters of doctors and lawyers. And then you have students that are really struggling who may be in their third school in the last 2 years.
Yep. And I'm absolutely on board with providing extra support for those kids you just talked about, we have, you know, somewhere in the realm of 10% of kids don't graduate from Memorial, and I suspect that more fall through the cracks after graduation and don't go on to either, you know, meaningful, good-paying work or some kind of post-secondary education. And I think the district should invest in helping to ensure that those kids have a promising future and get the support they need to do well in school.
Chris Carusi with us at SlidesOffice.com. She's a candidate for District 6 Madison School Board primary election for 6 and 7 are coming up this Tuesday, the 21st.
If you have a broken guitar, don't fret. Take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson to Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We'll have you fretting your guitar in no time at all. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic, we love guitars.
So, Chris, tell me a little bit about your concerns about the school district, the population of the schools, and then the greater community of Madison, because there are some huge demographic disparities between the general population of Madison and the school district.
Absolutely.
So it sounded to me in the piece that I read about you that you wanted to focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
How?
Well, I believe that relationships, you know, positive relationships in the schools really are at the heart of trying to help every child succeed. And again, smaller class sizes is part of that. If teachers have too many kids in their class, it's really hard to know what's going on with those kids. And likewise, we want kids to, like, you know that their teachers value them and respect them and want to do well in school because they care very much about the adults in the building and what they think of them. I believe that those kinds of relationships are central to not just helping the population in our school district succeed, but also, you know, we have a lot of immigrant kids in our district, and I feel like the relationships that we build with those kids help to build cross-cultural understanding that will help them succeed. So,
you know, there's probably a perception, and I hear it from teachers, and I hear it from people that are concerned about Madison schools, that a lot of the teachers don't get the type of support from parents that used to happen. That, in other words, the kids are being disrespectful, that discipline is much more difficult. We know the discipline policy, and if you've been involved in schools for a while, you know how contentious that was. And that it's not so much fun, especially to be in a couple middle schools in the Madison area right now. What are your thoughts on the discipline policy and how schools are doing within just having some sort of order?
Well, there's two sides to the discipline policy. You know, the ideals behind it are hard to disagree with. The goal is to reduce suspensions, reduce expulsions, try to keep kids in class more so that they're learning, which, you know, that's all good. The practice of it is, again, with bigger class sizes, it's harder for teachers to manage a classroom when you're leaving kids who are having behavior struggles in the room as opposed to taking them out. And on top of that, we have more kids in the district who need psychologists and who need social workers and who need nurses and that other kind of support that we call wraparound support. And we just don't have enough of it. If we're going to use a behavior approach where we're trying to keep kids in class, engaged in learning, we have to give teachers the support they need so that if kids are coming to class and they've experienced trauma and they need a little extra help, they can get that help.
What about the issue that was debated last year with having law enforcement in public schools? What did you make of that?
I am glad that the Board of Education has established an ad hoc committee to look at what's going on with our education resource officers. I think we're having really different experiences at different schools. Some of our high schools are very happy with their education resource officers, it sounds like, and feel that those people are helping to kids to not, you know, they're not using punitive approaches as much as restorative approaches and trying to keep kids out of the criminal justice system, which is good. That's not always true for all kids and at all schools. And so I'm hoping that an ad hoc committee made up of community members who are talking directly to the board will help us figure out how we take policing in our schools to the next step. You know, if we can come up with a better contract with the city so that officers aren't getting involved in discipline, so that officers are rewarded for more restorative type of work where they're keeping kids out of the criminal justice system, I think that would all be a positive step forward for our city.
Although we want criminals out of the, I mean, if someone yes. is being violent, there's no excuse for having someone violent in a public school.
If you've got violence or weapons or anything like that, there's no excuse for it. But the concern is that there's kids who just are having behavior issues and are perhaps getting arrested for insubordination or things like that, where maybe more building bridges of understanding and using more restorative approaches would help to stop those kinds of arrests being made and help kids do better.
Right. What about the, you also wrote about the, you know, the debate about charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
And charter schools that that do have, I'm drawing a blank on the word. In other words, they don't have full autonomy. The school district actually has some oversight over them versus what Kaleem Care pushed for.
Yeah, those are called instrumentality
Thank
charter
you.
Schools. Yeah.
Thank you.
And they are governed by the school board.
All right. What are your feelings about charter schools?
Well, first of all, I am opposed to the other type of charter school, which is called non-instrumentality or private charter school, which is not governed by the district, and I am opposed to those.
I take it you didn't get a Christmas card from Betsy DeVos.
No, I did not get a Christmas card from Betsy DeVos, and I don't want one. But when it comes to instrumentality charter schools, I think, you know, I would consider proposals for those schools, and I think when we're looking at those kind of schools, we have to not only look at what those schools are doing for kids in the schools, but we also need to look at the impact those schools will have on kids who are not in the charter school. You know, if a charter school is going to pull resources out of our neighborhood schools, I would oppose it because I feel like our top priority needs to be to meet the needs of the kids who are in our neighborhood schools because that's most of our kids.
Right. As far as the school district and spending, by the way, the governor has done some things that not many people have paid attention to. For instance, and this isn't law yet because the legislature has to go through his budget. Years ago, Governor Doyle had put in, they passed legislation that where school districts were not punished for spending money on modernizing and upgrading energy efficiency. Governor Walker wants to take those away.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these older buildings that we have, and there are a fair amount of buildings that are getting to be 50, 60, and 70 years old in the Madison School District, that would be taken away, which is another hurdle, right?
It's an enormous hurdle. We have a lot of buildings that need work, and energy efficiency is ultimately going to save the district money. So,
and also good for the planet.
And great for the planet.
Right. Imagine that. And yet, you know, we have a lot of people, and Madison voters have been very generous to Madison Public Schools, as frankly have most communities when it comes to supporting referendums. But there is a limit, isn't there?
There is a limit as to what people will support. I agree.
Not only what they'll support, but what is also judicious. There's people on fixed incomes.
Mm-hmm.
As it is, I've never liked the idea that property taxpayers were pitted against schools. I think the property tax is kind of a regressive tax. The millions of dollars that are going to 12 or 13 people of the top income bracket in Wisconsin right now, that money could be funding schools and then some.
Mm-hmm.
But the money that's being wasted on, you know, school choice, we're actually spending money advertising for kids to pull their kids out. So those are all things that make it even more difficult. What do you make of the program right now where people can pull their kids out of Madison schools and move them to Verona or Wanakee or some of the surrounding schools?
You mean open enrollment?
Open enrollment, yeah. And Nikki Vandermeulen pointed out that the school district right now doesn't even do an exit interview with parents as to why they're pulling kids out. Should we have more information?
I think we should have more information. The district did do a very small survey, I think, you know, or they tried to reach out to some of the parents who have open enrolled out of the district, but I read the results of the survey, and I don't think it's giving us enough information about why people are leaving. I think we need to focus on creating a district where people want to stay. So,
you know, some of it feels like I've seen this movie before. Well, I see Wanakee, I see Middleton Cross Plains, I see some of these other suburbs building lavish schools with a wealthier tax base. You know, my mother taught fourth grade in Milwaukee before I was born in the inner city. And, you know, I watched I watched White Flight happen in Milwaukee, and I watched a lot of people move their kids out of MPS into schools in the surrounding area. And you know how that story ended.
I know how that story ends. I grew up in L.A.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're kind of at a critical moment for Madison Schools.
We are at a critical moment for Madison Schools, and I think it's, I have to think about this one for a second, because, you know, people have very different reasons for pulling their kids out of the Madison Schools, but I think our community values education, and we value the diversity that we have in our schools, and for those of us who still have our kids in the schools, that's really important to us. And I think if we can overcome some challenges that the district is facing right now in terms of what they call school climate, you know, in some of our schools, I think parents are concerned about safety, and some of our schools' teachers are concerned about safety, and I think if we can address those head-on as a community and work on those issues, we have great schools. We have really good staff. We have wonderful cultural diversity in our district. We have, you know, our buildings may not be the prettiest, but great stuff goes on in there. You know, I've been really happy with the education my kids are getting in the Madison Public Schools, and I think we need to make sure that people know that we have good schools, and we need people to, you know, we as a district are going to work on the challenges so that our schools get even better and so that people want to stay.
Kids do not need Taj Mahal. So there's
kids do not need Taj Mahal.
There is that Cromery Middle School that they built in Middleton is the most ridiculous. I think, and you know, I hear of where was it? Arrowhead in the suburbs of Milwaukee, where they built the kids' locker rooms for, you know, for the sports teams that were mm-hmm. were at the same level as pro players. It's like, come on, mm-hmm. right? Kids don't need that. As a matter of fact, they shouldn't have that.
No, and I really think it's more important for us as a district to look at things like bullying, and take those issues seriously than to focus on we need to build the Taj Mahal also. I think we just need to...
Well, you know, honestly, with social media, bullying is a whole different ballgame than when I went to school.
It's a whole different ballgame now than it used to be, and it's, you know, it's a problem everywhere.
All right, there was one thing I read about you that I was concerned about, and that is that you were involved with Healthy Snack Program. You're not going to make children eat too much broccoli, are you, in school?
Well... my job is in sustainable agriculture, and farm to school is part of what we do. And when my kids were at Crestwood Elementary School, I helped to start a healthy snack program there where, you know, we didn't have tons of money, but, you know, once a month or so, we tried to bring in cherry tomatoes or cheese curds or, you know, red peppers, things like that for the kids to try. A lot
of those are all fine.
They're all good. And
I'm very anti-broccoli. I'm just going to tell you.
I don't think we ever brought in broccoli.
Okay,
we tried kohlrabi once, and it did not
didn't go over
at all.
Well, listen, you sound like you're going to do a great job on the school board. I'm going to vote for you on the 21st.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And look forward to talking to you for the final election.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I appreciate the chance to talk with you.
All right. Chris Carusi, have you got a place for people to go to learn more about you?
I do. I have a website. It's chrisforschools.com.
All right. This is Sly. Sly'sOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Sly'sOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.